right. Today we begin the journey towards Christmas, and we're starting a new message series called Hidden Christmas. It's all about looking at Jesus and celebrating His birth, which brings us salvation. And we're going to be looking at some of the surprising truths that we see in the Bible about the birth of Jesus. So when you look at the Gospels, the first four books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the Gospels. There's two of them that start out their story in a very unique way. They start out by sharing a genealogy, a family tree. And if you're like me, when you've read the Christmas story or when you've read the Gospels and started out reading, Matthew's the very first one, and we're going to look at his story first. When you start out reading that, you start with the names and you're like, oh man, let me skip through this, right? Because you either don't want to read the names because you don't know how to pronounce them, or after reading a couple of the names, you get kind of bored, and so you skip over it and get to the important things, right? The important part of the story of Christmas. But today, we're going to look at those. We're going to look at those genealogy, the genealogy of Matthew, because they're important. They're not only important for us, but they were really important to the ancient readers. So Matthew, who is, remember, the tax collector, right, who became follower and disciple of Jesus, he writes this book, his gospel, Matthew, to his fellow Jews. And so he includes this genealogy as a way to remind them of a few really important things. And as we read it, we really don't see those hidden things, but they would have known and seen them very clearly because genealogies were really important to them. They were really important. Matter of fact, they were kind of like what we would look at as a resume. So a resume represents you, right? It represents you to a company that you want to hire you. So in your resume, you put really good things that represent you in a way that they will hopefully hire you. It reveals to your employer that you have credentials, right? That you have qualifications, that you have knowledge and experience. Your genealogy or your personal family tree in the ancient times revealed your credentials and your qualifications to the social world. It was like a resume. It gave them credibility. It gave them value. And most importantly, it showed their social status. It showed their personal importance and value as a person. It was their identity, and it gave them a sense of pride and value. So that's what makes Matthew's genealogy of Jesus so interesting. Matthew doesn't hide things. So sometimes, probably not you, but sometimes people, when they turn in a resume to some place that they want to get hired, they leave certain things out, or they embellish other things to make themselves look better. Well, in ancient times, when somebody would share their genealogy, sometimes they would do the same thing to make themselves look better. Matthew doesn't do that. He shares a genealogy that is so honest, it challenges the Jewish people. Let's see, as we read it, if you can identify some of those hidden meanings. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 1, reading through verse 17. I'm reading from the New International Version. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, Abijah, the father of Asa, Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, Jehoram, the father of Uzziah, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Ammon, Ammon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of exile to Babylon. You still awake? Just checking. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah, the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud, Abiud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor, Azor, the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Achim, Achim, the father of Eliud, Eliud, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from exile to the Christ. This is the reading of God's Word, God's holy and inspired Word. So these names are important. And we're going to look at why these names are important. Specifically, I'm going to share two reasons why this family tree of Jesus is good news for us at Christmas. So if you have an outline and you're following along, the first fill in the blank is that Christmas is a gift of hope for the hurting. It's a gift of hope for the hurting. In verse 1, Matthew says, this is the family tree of Jesus, who is the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, why start with that? First, again, remember that Matthew is a Jew who is writing to the Jewish people with the purpose of proving to them that Jesus fulfills the Old Testament prophecy and therefore is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one in whom they had been waiting for. Now, he does that in the very beginning by reminding them of the two most important Jewish people in their family tree, Abraham and David. But what does that mean? What does that mean to us? Why are they the most important? Well, if you read the Old Testament, you'll be reminded that it is those two that God gave covenant promises to. Remember the covenant promise that he gave to Abraham? He said, Abraham, if you follow me, if you commit your life to me, I will make your descendants like the stars. And not only that, one of your descendants, one person that comes from you, will be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. God also promised David, gave him a covenant. He said, David, as long as you follow me, as long as you know me, I will allow someone from your family to reign on the throne as king over Israel. Not a physical king, but a spiritual king. It was his way of saying that he would promise David that somewhere in his ancestry, somewhere in his family tree, down the road, there would come a king, a spiritual king who would rule over the world, who would rule over the spiritual lives of his people. So what's the point? What is Matthew trying to teach them and teach us? Well, he starts out by sharing that Jesus is the answer to that promise, that God has kept his covenant promise with them. Now, why is that important for us to see as a gift at Christmas? You need to know and understand that the Jewish people knew that the Messiah was coming. But at this point in history, they were wondering and they were doubting. You see, it had been over 400 years since God had sent a prophet to them to share any kind of information with them. So history has led them to this point where they're kind of wondering if God is ever going to keep his promise. Matter of fact, all indications to history in that time are revealing to them that God has probably rejected them, that God is never going to keep his promise, that he has abandoned his people and his promise that he's done. the message that Matthew was sharing with the Jewish people and with us is this: God always keeps His promise. God always keeps His promise. It may not be in the right time and in the right way that we want or expect, but Matthew shares this in telling them, Jesus is the Messiah. He is here. He is the one. This is the promise. God always keeps His promise. Now, why is that important to us? Well, I know that some of you can really kind of relate to the people from that day. You're wondering where God is. You have doubts. There's some difficulties going on in your life. You're hurting. And you're saying to yourself, is Jesus ever going to keep His promise in my life? Why am I hurting so bad? Why are these difficulties happening to me in my life? Matthew shares that at the very first Christmas, that Jesus came as a baby to save the world, and He keeps His promise. The message to you today is that if you're hurting, we have hope because Jesus always keeps His promises. We know that the promise God has given to us is that someday Jesus will return and He'll bring us back into that eternal place, to heaven, where there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. And we long for that, and we can't wait for that. And yet in this time, in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our pain, we often wonder and doubt, is God ever going to keep His promise? When is God going to do that for me? Matthew's message to all of us today is that Christmas is about a God who keeps His promise. That we should put our hope and trust in that God. No matter how hard and difficult life is, no matter how we are struggling, no matter how much pain and suffering there is, we have hope that someday Jesus will return, that someday our pain will be gone. That ought to bring us hope. So as you celebrate Christmas this year, celebrate the joy that comes from our hope in a God who will keep His promise. Secondly, Christmas is a gift of grace for the outsiders. Christmas is a gift of grace for the outsiders. Matthew starts the family tree by showing Jesus as the Messiah, by pointing to the very Jewish leaders, the prominent people, Abraham and David. But he doesn't continue that. He proceeds to go totally against the cultural standard, and he includes five women in the family tree. Why is that so significant? This is a patriarchal-led society. This is a male society where the only thing that matters is who your dad was, who your grandfather was, as far as your authority, your value, your worth comes from who your father was. Matthew includes five women: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. They were outsiders, but he doesn't eliminate them from the family tree. He deliberately includes them. Why? Because he wants to know, he wants all of us to know, that no matter where we're at, if we're outsiders, he has come for us to bring us into his family. Let's look at this. Mary was a social outsider. Her family was poor. They were the poorest of poor. Listen, you don't come as the king of everything to the poorest family in all of creation, right? And yet, Mary is the one in whom bore Jesus, the Savior of the world. Rahab and Ruth weren't even Jewish. They were racial outsiders. So the Jewish people would have looked down on them like they weren't part of us. They're not part of our family. And yet, God used them. They're part of the family tree. Tamar and Rahab were moral outsiders. Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law, and she is guilty of incest. You can read that story yourself in Genesis 38. Rahab was a prostitute. Remember, she helped the spies in Jericho in order to become part of the family in Israel. So Matthew is writing to the Jewish people. People who have made the Mosaic Law the very part and essence of life. What it meant to be a spiritual person, a religious person, was to follow the law. And it's important for us to understand that according to Mosaic law, none of these people, none of these women would have been eligible or invited to participate in the temple. They weren't worthy. They weren't a part of the family. They weren't allowed in. Matthew now includes them in the family of God. So in essence, Matthew is proclaiming the good news of the gospel. That through Jesus and what He has done on the cross, and through His resurrection, all the outsiders can become part of the family of God. That's you. That's me. That's us. Listen, I know from having conversations with a lot of you are people that I've invited to be a part of the family here at Northridge. And I'll never forget that a majority of you all said the same thing. Pastor Doug, you don't understand. Man, if I walk through the doors of a church, the whole place is going to cave in, right? What were they saying? What were you saying? You were saying that I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to be a part of the church. Matthew is saying, yes, you are. We are. Because we're all outsiders. We're all sinners saved by grace. There is none of us that is righteous. No, none of us. And so we come here as a family, a broken family, on a journey to be transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what Matthew is sharing with all of the people. That outsiders are now allowed in. Now, I need to be honest with you. The church, over the last few years, the church as a whole has done a really bad job of inviting broken people into the family to participate in the family of God. A lot of times churches will say, hey, look, before you come here, get your stuff together. Get your act together before you come here. And that's not what the church is about. That's not what the church is for. The church is intended to be a family of God where we come in with all of our brokenness. And we invest in placing our faith and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Then we repent of our sin and begin to trust and follow Him with our life. That's what it's about. And the funny thing about Matthew is in an indirect way, he reminds the Jews of that very thing. He recognizes that some of the Jewish leaders might be thinking they were self-righteous, that they were good, and that's what it meant to be a part of the family of God. So what does he do in a subtle way? In verse 6, he says, David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. David, King David, the one who killed Goliath, the one who they named Jerusalem after, the city of David. The one in whom they put on the flag the Star of David. The biggest icon, celebrity, legend in all of Israelite history. That David. And Matthew subtly points out his moral failures. You see, Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. She is the woman that David had an affair with. She is the woman that David got pregnant while the nation of Israel was out at war. And in order to cover up his sin, David had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed by sending him to the front line in the battle. Matthew was saying, David, the one that you hold in the highest esteem, the one that has the biggest and most important value in our nation's history, is also a moral failure. In his family tree, Matthew puts a prostitute next to a king. It was his way of saying, be reminded, people, we're all on the same playing field. That we're all broken. That we're all moral failures who need a Savior. And oh, by the way, that Savior is Jesus. And we are a part of His family. If we can give our lives, if we put our faith and trust in what He has done for us, we become part of the family of God. So now, what is Matthew saying? He's saying that since we are a part of the family of God, we have value. We have worth. Your name is on the list. If you have professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your name is on the family tree of Jesus. You now have the identity of Christ. You are now a child of the King. You are now part of God's family. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. God's grace for us outsiders. So as you celebrate Christmas this year, I want you to stop and reflect. Stop and think about and remember the hope that we have because of Jesus. Stop and remember the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. That in Christ, we are all a part of His family. Our credibility, our value, and most importantly, our identity comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. So this Christmas, whether you're hurting or whether you feel like an outsider, Jesus brings you hope and grace. Christmas is a time to celebrate the fact that we are all a part of the family of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for the hope and the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the indirect reminder through this family tree that we are a part of the family of God. That we can put our hope and trust in you as our Savior, and that we can be saved by grace through faith because of what you have done. So, Lord, we give you thanks for what you have done for us. And we pray, Lord, that you would remind us on a regular basis that our identity is in you, that we have value and worth because you created us and that you died for us and that you saved us. Lord, help us to remember that this Christmas, to receive that gift and to live that gift out in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.